Mr. Corr, Reel 2, we were talking about your training at Bransworth Castle Camp, and you mentioned route marches. What were they like?
Again, monotonous year. March only averaged 30 to 35 miles on a route march.
That's a very long way.
It wasn't an endurance, because they had only like 240.
Did they use the light infantry pace at that stage?
No. You only used the light infantry pace when you got to Willington, which was 3 miles out of camp. The band met you going back, and you marched back at military pace from the last 3 miles with the band.
So you used the normal infantry?
You used the normal leisurely stroll light on the route marches.
And
5 minutes every hour I rest. You know.
And what other military training did you get? Were you started on physical training, PT?
PT, boxing.
What about the PT? What was that like?
Well, we had all ex-boxers from the area and ex-footballers and all PT instructors. And you got the full training what they got when all boxing and you got the full gambit.
Did it work for you? I mean, did it make you fit?
Oh, I was fit. Well, at that time I was only 133 pounds when I went in. And I came out at 133 pounds. I was a bit more than that, but...
So, what about the boxing? Did you do any boxing?
I did a bit, yeah.
Did everyone have to box a bit?
Oh, yes. You volunteer, you fight him, and you fight him. Same way, too.
And did you enjoy it?
Yeah. Well, I did a bit of doorway.
What about actual weapons training? I mean, how did they start you off on the rifle?
They started off on the rifle. Give you a rifle, and the first thing you do is memorize your number. M307 was mine. I still remember it. And we started by a team at the base, and around the Wogan Pass, to show you how to clean it after fire with a piece of 4x2, one piece. But if you got a jam, you had to go to the armour, you got hell. And put you on the blend, go and strip it out, and you had to pull it back again in so many seconds. And strip it for so many seconds, and you had to pull it back in the dark. And they give you a grenade training.
How about, what about actually learning to shoot the rifle?
Oh, I had a range there. They took me to a little .22 range there. But for actual shooting, they took me to Whitburn.
How did they set about to actually teach you to fire accurately, I suppose?
Well, they told you told you how to aim through the aperture and your backside. And they told you when you put your first pressure, you held your breath to put your second pressure in there. And then encourage you. They used to give you probably two rifles, and you could go on the range every Tuesday night and fire as many as you like. With the sergeant there, and the best three on the night got a leave from Friday night till Sunday night. They were then encouraged to go.
How did you do on the 2-2 ranges? What do you think made you a good shot then? What was the thing that...
Well, I've got eyesight for one, and that's it. That time I didn't drink.
How about when you came to go to Whitburn and on the real range?
You go to Whitburn, you marched it. You marched it. And when I was at Whitburn, it happened. If you hit the five snap targets, it was on a Thursday, you got leave until the Monday. And I got leave until the Monday. I came from Whitburn, I had the mark, in fact, I got the bus through.
So you didn't find the impact of the real thing, you know, put you off at all?
No.
Did they assess you in those? I mean, the First World War, they'd set you into marksman and first, second, third. Did they still do that sort of thing?
Yeah.
And so you'd pass out as a marksman?
I was a marksman, and I was a Bren first class.
Did they do the Bren at the same time?
Yeah.
What was the Bren like to fire?
It was a bit more rapid than the Leyland. You couldn't get the Eagles properly, you couldn't get the Leyland. Well, of course, you didn't need to, you were spraying with that. But the Leyland was very accurate, if you looked after it.
What do you mean, looked after it? I mean, if you didn't keep it clean, would it not? Did that make a difference?
If you keep it clean and oiled, you wouldn't get the same performance of it. You had to keep it clean. They got to be in a family clean break and stay the oil.
So, what about, you mentioned grenade training, what about that? How did they go about teaching you the grenade?
They told you about live grenades.
Would you not throw a dummy first?
No. They're the live ones. They let you go on live, so you have to train them yourself and all. What else was five best? But you had the big length 69 grenades, and you had the vacuum flask, they were about that high. There was a lump of lead in the top of that road, and you threw it and it came out and it was good. You couldn't toss it more than 5 or 6 yards.
And where did you practice throwing these? At Whitburn?
At
Brunsford. Were you not in a trench when you threw them?
I mean, you were in a trench when you threw them.
About how far could you throw the mills? And what throwing action would you use? Did it help to have played cricket?
I suppose the fact would have been a good grenade throw.
And what about the Bakelite ones? I've not heard much about them. What were they like?
The Bakelite ones was there was some smoke, there was some phosphorus, and there was some. But they didn't do as much damage as the mills. The mills were the same grenade. As a matter of fact, as I left Bradford, I've never seen a Bakelite one.
You thought you had a good impression of the mills right from the start, did you? What other weapons? Would you do bayonet training while you're at Brandsford?
I did bayonet training to the sandbags. Bayonet, and the Saudi Arabia coming in with a bayonet, and then he tossed you over his shoulder, and I'm coming back, you know.
Did they teach you the sort of bayonet, proper, what the old-style bayonet fighting with the butt coming through and all the rest of it? How did you learn that? In what?
Well, you let it go to sandbags. You're on sandbags quite a long way. I mean, you just had a couple of hours a day.
That was just charging him.
Yeah, the start. And then there was a sergeant stood with a rifle. And you had to go with him. And he used to knock you on one side, and he used to put the foot down and tap your neck, save the head. He gradually learned how to do it later.
Did he tap you or did he hit you?
No, he tapped you, didn't he?
Any other weapons that you were taught at the time?
Aye, the boys, anti-tank rifle. The .55 bullet is the most enough a tank bullet.
What did you think of that?
It was pretty awful. If you had to put your shoe leg, you said it would break it.
How did you fire it then?
We had earlier back on something solid, you know, and someone behind you holding it. It never penetrated tank. I don't know if it would penetrate quarter steel. And yeah, that's what the weapons were half anti tank there. And they got the 2 pound of that one.
Did you learn the 2 pound of there?
No, not there. I learned it with the 40s.
So it was just the boys that you. Now that had been discredited in France in 1940. Yeah. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. And they're still using them, yeah.
What did the instructors say about them? I mean, did they try and tell you
they were. The same as us. They've got the same amount of about them. Absolutely useless.
What about mortars? Did you get to.
Yeah, two in squad, yeah, that's all.
And did you actually get to do any live firing?
I was two in squad, yeah.
Where at?
At Brunswick on the training ground. You had a training ground there for mortars and grenades.
And what.
Yeah, really fired for 100 yards.
And how did you get on with that, the mortar? So your best thing was the rifle?
Yeah.
Any other training that you did while you were at Brandsmouth?
Map reading.
How did they go about that?
I enjoyed it.
How did they train you?
Oh, yeah, so I did there that he was an expert at it. And he took classes, especially when the weather was bad, February it was, and he said, look forward to them classes, he enjoyed them.
Did they take you out on any practicals in the hills? What about tactical training, you know, sort of how to attack, sort of various.
We did that at Page Bank, and then holding the Page Bank. How to attack. And spending more.
And what were the tactics they were teaching you?
Well, throw your grenade in, throw the door in, and that's it. There was some FBLs that they were using, right? It was all practical fighting.
That was street fighting. What about open fighting, fire and movement, that sort of thing? Did they teach you that?
Oh, yeah. You just don't know what I'm doing that door. You don't know what to do with that. You turn on your door, you come behind, you come in, you body me, you body me. You didn't learn very much about that yourself. Not the time you learned that by hard experience.
What about exercises with larger units? Would you do that while you were at Brandsforth or later when you were with your battalion?
No, I didn't do it at Brandsforth. I did that later when you joined the battalion.
Any other training you remember at Brandsforth? Now, what about preparing for an inspection? How would you go about that?
Somebody to prepare it the night before and put the leather bed out to sleep on the floor. So that came in the stupid kit inspection.
Why did you
think? Everything lined up and the socks lined up and everything done and anything that didn't belong to the army had to be put out of sight and I hadn't got to find it. If you look me, look, I hadn't got to find it. There was no sense of what to do it. Kit inspections.
Would any of your kit go missing?
Oh, it did. It did. It did.
So what would you do then?
Well, it went missing.
You wouldn't get anybody else's?
No. I had to pay for it.
And
I found out where it had gone.
Where had it gone?
Sadly, I think that they tried to sell it backwards. But I had a local in the army, a regular soldier. And he says to me, "Now turn your pocket inside out, your tunic. And put your name in indelible inside it." And then everybody pinches it. The price on the back, you just start looking, you've got them. And I did. He tried to sell it, I took an inspector. I said, "They pinched it off me." Then he said, "Well, I've reported." So he charged them and reported. He got stripped from it.
That was quite a common trick. That.
Yeah.
What about guard duties, preparing for the guard? Did you do guard duties at Brandsforth?
Yeah.
I presume you didn't like that either.
So you spent hours bullshitting your shoulder. So boring with a back of a toothbrush and polishing it and spitting a bit more polish and eating your toothbrush and getting it really burning. Now when he went on parade, that the spare man came out and he had his dust and he went all over all your shoes when you were standing. He got a bit of dust when you were standing. He had everything polished, all your buttons was polished. Yeah, so your boots, the eyelets and your boots was all polished, you know. The end of your lace was black and polished that little bit and the end of your lace. And then he said, "Right, you are stripped out, your vest. Make sure your identity disc was on and all clean."
Did they actually have a stick man at the time?
They had a stick man at the time.
Did you ever win that?
Oh, I won that twice. But accidentally. The rest of it was just slipped up.
So you didn't like bull at all?
I didn't like bull at all.
Did you realise any, did you see any point in it at all?
Oh, I've seen a point in some of it. Definitely, you know. I mean, I've seen a point in it, but I just didn't believe it.
What about when you were on guard duty? What did it consist of?
2 hours on and 4 hours off.
Well,
if you were on the main gate, and if you were standing in and you just move 6 days, 6 months, and stand again and give salute to the officers when they came in. But if you're on picket duty, you would just make yourself as inconspicuous as possible.
What was picket duty?
Well, when you're marching areas where they would get transport out of stuff like, ordinary police duty. I'm marching on the camp watching nobody was trying to get in. And if they were having difficulty out of it, then I'd be still on the list.
Now, what about your day's routine? What time would it start?
About 6.
What would it start with?
he started the Delhi PT. He got up with PT, and he went to work in the gym, went for your breakfast, and he started with your training, whatever was done for the day. You had all that up the night before, you see. Anybody from dental, junior, doctor, junior, was under company orders.
And then after the morning training session, was a lunch in a canteen? I mean, you had
a canteen.
And an afternoon training, and then what?
Tea. Sometimes evening, sometimes lectures in the evening. Very rare, maybe. They would be at the evening, though.
And what would you do with your spare time?
You would have the Naffy. Oh, you sat with bread.
What did the Naffy offer?
Tea and buns.
It wasn't a wet Naffy, then?
No.
And could you afford much? I mean,
no.
So you'd either go there, or what else would you do?
Well, in the late night, you'd go for walks and do your two practice. The night that you're done.
Were you allowed into the village?
You're allowed into the village, but you weren't allowed into the dorm.
And did you still not drink?
No.
So you wouldn't be interested in the pubs and such? Why weren't you allowed into Durham?
Durham was on a boat, I don't know why. It was definitely on a boat, but couldn't go into Durham.
And how did you get on with the local civilians? Was there any, I mean, having a big army camp, was there any trouble with them, or?
Very rare. No, there were some of the lads from Willington and Brandon. After we hit a camp with us, and we were there for the things. Tony Sackle, he's got a shop in Washington Village now. Well, Tony lived in Brandon. So we're in Washington Village, well, Tony Sackle, he's got a sweet shop in Washington.
So, how long did your training last for then?
4 months.
And at the end of it, well, how good do you think your training had been?
Well, we elected to go to the
And how you thought you were, how good do you think it was in retrospect? I mean,
in retrospect, you had a lot to learn.
What things hadn't they taught you about too well?
Well, one thing they couldn't teach you was actual field craft in the field. The only experience would teach you that.
So when you left, what happened?
Went to the 14th Battalion at Forks.
Now,
that was the 14th Battalion.
And that would be, what month would you arrive to join them?
About July, yeah.
And what was your reception when you joined them?
Well, you were not a lot of people there.
Where from?
From home and from previous, been to Bransford and left, you know, all that squad that I've moved out.
And what company were you put into?
B.
And where were your billets?
Travara Hotel.
And what do you remember about your time with the 14th Battalion then? What sort of training were you doing with them? Because you were with them about 5 months, weren't you?
Yes. Well, I wasn't at Forks all the time. We did some big field exercises with other divisions. We did the Harold scheme.
What was the Harold scheme, for instance?
Well, we marched 278 mile in 10 days. And nothing to eat. And when we finished the scheme, it had happened. We were fighting the Canadians. We used to like ammunition at all. And when we finished the scheme, we were going, by this time, the battalion was at Gillingham. Gillingham in Kent. We finished the scheme about 27 miles from Gillingham. And all the TC beams was lined up. And we all came along, and our CEO came along and said, what are you here for? Durham told you his transport a march and we had a march back. So don't tell me 78 we had a march back to camp.
What state were you in? What state were you in by then? And what were the actual exercises like? What did you do on them? I mean, how was the live firing controlled?
Well, sometimes I don't two things. One sculpture that was very real and put over their head very low by the Canadians. I don't know if it would be used now in live ammunition, but the data, I'm sure you. But exercises, right, this cold and uncomfortable through the night, live and peace.
Did you understand what was happening during those?
Yes. Well, you're putting the picture.
Do you remember any of the other exercises you did?
Oh, the numerous ones. With different, smaller scale, but with different ones. And we did the routine invasion exercises when the Russians were trenching on the tops of the cliffs, like, where they're more prepared. And we might be 7 or 8 miles away, and we got all that double the trenches, right? And we'd all have to. And it was double as well. We have to be remarkable. Jumping up trenches, and you think it's just an exercise.
They didn't tell you till then?
No. They didn't know that. It was just an exercise.
Now, that was in the Folkestone area, these trenches were. What were the. Had you prepared the trenches?
Oh, we had prepared them all.
Who sighted them? Because it's quite. And what was the normal pattern? What was the defensive arrangement they used?
Normal pattern was your usual 6-foot trench, and someone in the trench hit them, but you're all facing out, of course. You had the beach below you, all men, and barbed wire was all there.
That was the 6-foot slit trenches. How deep would they be?
Well, just enough where you get your head and shoulder, most of it was to see the fire. You had little duck boxes in the bottom.
And about how wide? And while you were at Folkestone, what were your normal duties like?
Well, one night you did a duty marking along the lines. There was a military railway there, and it was main day that side through the old soul. You went from redoubt to redoubt. And you checked in each redoubt, and you did an hour in each redoubt on the machine guns, working out the channel, and every now and then the flash, the searchlights came on, and you're all manned there. And you left there, and somebody else came down, and you marked to the next redoubt, and you did the same there. And the next night, you did a work on the camp. And the third night, you had off. But you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
So that was your first time under fire.
Yeah.
What were the air raids like?
Well, there were measures which were fighter pilots, and I think they were laughing more than anything else when I was flying. They were honest, they were. They never tried to hit the room. Never tried to hit them. They were good for holding the air room. And you were fighting, I think you had it. And they peaked with it. You were a couple of blend guns for everything. Yeah, no, you got more solid if you brought one down.
Did anyone manage it? Now, you were a fair shot. Did you ever have a go? Did you know to shoot in front of them and all that sort of thing? Did you know how far in front?
I didn't know how fast I was going. I didn't realize that you were going as fast then. You hit them and they're not gone.
So you just couldn't get a bead on them?
They came down and hooked tight head.
You say they weren't shooting seriously at you?
No, it was.
And what about bombs? Any bombs?
No. There is folks in. One day when I went to church, they dropped a bomb and killed a few lads. But very rare that folks used a bomb when I was there. I've seen more bombs up here than they've done there.
Any other duties while you were at Folkestone that you remember? Were there any characters in the battalion you remember?
In our battalion?
The 14th.
The 14th.
At that time.
Not particularly in the 14th, no.
Do you remember who your officer was in B Company?
Remember the Sergeant Major? Top of Brown.
Now, all Browns are called Top of Brown at the time. Do you know his first name?
Jimmy, I think. He belongs to Sunderland.
What was he like?
Oh, he was all right. He was a fella. He was just a call-up school guy, but he was a reasonable fella. Strict when he had to be. Or a call-up Captain Stone. Cambridge man.
What was he like? In what way? What made him a bad officer?
I thought he was a critical for everybody, you know. I mean, in this 16, the officers was were totally man to man, and I still meet them. They still would be with an arrogant taste.
Did he actually do his... Well, I mean, you didn't go overseas from... Did he actually do his job properly, Stone?
Well, I probably couldn't tell you. I know he was... No criteria to work on, had you?
So, any incidents you remember from your time in Folkestone with the 14th?
Not really. The move from there to Pinton. Great heaven.
What was so good about it?
Well, I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, and there was a family called Blackout there. Everybody was talking about his son being, and it was just like a holiday. After being at Folkestone and Dover, it was a holiday when he was there. Yeah. Fortunately, he wasn't there very long.
Where were you billeted? In Paynton.
In Paynton, it was the Parkatel, I called it.
When you were built, that's the second hotel you were in. When you were in these hotels, you...
There was a bare room. There was no posh. It was just a bare room for the bed in. There was none of these posh hotel rooms. You didn't get them. That was for the officers. The RAF, they had them.
And what about your food? Was that all right?
Well, the food went aboard. There was another hotel further down the road, which had a big dining room, all night in there.
And how did the 14th cooks compare to the Brandsmouth cooks?
Well, I think the Brandsmouth cooks were really chefs. Well, a good cook in there was a pastry cook in Gator, a fellow called Homer. Corporal Homer, he was a good cook, right? But the rest is just an average. I think what Plover has gone through, joint well done, you know.
So, you weren't at Paynton long. Any incidents at Paynton you remember?
No, we just sort of let that time, just let you relax, I think, before you went abroad. We were sent to home, so you went abroad from there.
So, when had you been at Gillingham? I'm a bit confused about that. Gillingham was while you were
at Folkestone. And the scheme started by Martin at Gillingham.
That's it, right. So, you went from the Paynton. Did you get embarkation leave from there or from the next place? And what did you do on your embarkation leave?
Well, it's a funny story. I got sent on leave from Paynton, and I was due back on the New Year's Eve. That's just the hell with it. I'm not going back. I'm going to stay by the New Year. And I didn't go back. I went back the day after New Year, and I got on the plane. And I was only a major alone from South Shields there, and a rear party. She said, where are you going? I thought, what's taking you? She said, what's the reason? I said, I just wouldn't go back on New Year. I said, you're honest enough, you know you're going to get points. I said, yes. He said, well, what news for you? You're supposed to be on embarkation, you're not supposed to be back. I hadn't got any notice, but I was supposed to be on embarkation leave. So he said, you've got 5 days left of the embarkation leave. He said, will you promise me you'll come back and let you go on embarkation leave? I said, yes. So I did. I went on embarkation leave. He said, he took us down to the train, I cut the train, give us a pass and everything, and I came home. And when I went back to home, he had to be back at 6 o'clock at night. I was back at 5. The next morning, I had my name alone, I was on a charge for being after the road. So on Saturday when he comes along to this media alone, he looked at me. He says, you're the fellow sent a visit for me from Pin. I said, yes. He said, you promised me you'd be back. I was back at 5 o'clock and I wasn't supposed to be back till later. I was back at 5 and you were back in time, he said. So he went in and he got the charge quickly, so I didn't get charged for it. I was being back here, and he went away about a week after that.